myself personally, I endeavor. I don't care what I'm facing in this life. I endeavor not to be moved by it, not to let it move me, not to let it move me from my stance on the Word. Even when you got revelation, things still try to move you away from it. They'll try to take you away from it because that revelation brings a manifestation when it's acted on. It's got to be acted on. Hallelujah. It's something God's got for you. I don't know. I'm standing up here and I saw you with the lasso. I mean, I don't know what that means, you know, but I seen you with a big lasso and I seen you, you know, twirling that lasso like you was going to throw it in a calf or a horse or something, you know. And I thought about the scripture that says in Jeremiah 29:11, God said to tell you that he knows the plans that he has for you, says the Lord. Plans to do you good and not evil, that you would have a future and a hope and expect it in. Hallelujah. So you hang on to the Lord. I don't know if you're saved or not. If you ain't, you will. He's going to knock on your heart. But he's got a plan for you. And God's able to get you there. He's able to take you there, praise the Lord. But God wants to manifest. He is manifesting Jesus in us. How many knows that? Beth, go ahead and give me that 2 Corinthians 4. I believe it is 13. Yeah. Paul was telling the Corinthians here, he said, we have having the same spirit of faith. Somebody say, the spirit of faith. I mean, there's a natural faith and there's a spiritual faith. A natural faith is you came in and you seen a chair and you just went and sat down. That didn't take a supernatural faith. You automatically, unconsciously have confidence in that chair. That is a natural faith. But a supernatural faith is not natural. It's a spirit of faith. He said, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore we speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, God, shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. It says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. But I want you to notice, he said, for our light afflictions. Now this is the man that had been stoned, left for drug out of the city, left for dead, was told by the Holy Spirit at conversion told by the Holy Spirit, everywhere you go, you're going to be in bond. I mean, this is a man that said, for our light afflictions, which is for a moment. Have you ever noticed when affliction and things come, they're temporary. Trials are temporary. Demonic attacks are temporary. But that temporary place there is trying to get you not to believe and to speak. Believing and speaking plays a major part in the victory that a Christian has, whether they believe it does or not. Proverbs 18:19, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Those that love it shall eat the fruit of it. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Romans 4, it says, and God who calls those things that be not as though they were. And the scripture says, as God is, so are we. See, that's why you won't get me to call myself sick even if I am attacked. You won't get me if I'm under financial pressure to go voicing it. Why? He says, that is written. What's written about that? What's written about sickness? By his stripes ye were healed. Right? We believe that, therefore we need to be speaking that. And not just in church. Because he said we have the same spirit of faith. See, faith, the Bible says, Hebrews 11, it says faith is the substance. Substance, that water is in that bottle. That's a substance. Faith is substance of things you hope for, your healing, your finances, being debt-free, going somewhere in God. Hallelujah. And you know what? If you're going to live and walk this faith thing, you will not be popular most of the time. I'm just telling you. God will hook you up with people that's got the same spirit. They'll hook you. He's talking about it at times. He'll hook you up with people that's got the same spirit. They got the spirit of faith. They got the God kind of faith. And they got the Word of God. You know, it'll just be good fellowship for you. But the majority of time that you are living for the Lord, and a lot of the times you're not going to be popular in school, young folks. If you pray over your food, if you fast, if you honor your mother and father, if you don't talk down on them at school like the kids do at school that are rebellious, hallelujah, that are rebelling. They're not rebelling against their parents. They're rebelling against the authority that God has put over them, placed over them. If you've got a godly parent, you need to praise God for that. You need to praise God that He put them in your life for you, for your betterment, for your walk. But you know what? You can't be ashamed of this word and ashamed of the Lord, hallelujah, and to take a stand on God's word and let people ridicule you. That's fine. You're going to be ridiculed. Jesus said that if you live for Him, you're going to suffer persecution. You're going to have hardship. He said, in this world you will have it. He said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome. And the Bible says that we are overcomers in 1 John 5:4. He said, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. What is the world? The age we live in, their way of doing, their way of thinking, ungodly. You know, I mean, young kids don't have to learn how to sin. They don't have to learn. It's just the nature. And then Satan throws thoughts and all of that out there and then hooks them up with people that have been on doing evil, even in schools. But you probably won't be popular all the time. But you know what? God will have times of rest for you. He'll give you times where everything will just start going good, and it'll be because you endured in that light affliction. Whatever you're going through as a teenager or young, it's a light affliction. It's temporary. I used to want to shave back yonder. I got Dad's razor and shaved. Now I wish I didn't shave. It's constant. It's every two or three days I got to shave now, Mac. See? Now, what I'm saying is life will take you places where you don't want to go. You'll have to do things that you don't want to do. But greater is He, the Bible says. And if God be for you, who can be against you? So when you don't seem to be popular, you just stand. You don't let it discourage you. You don't get oppressed over it. You don't go into that pit. I'm not just talking about teenagers. I'm talking about all of us. I'm talking about all of us. But if you're aware of it in school, if you're aware of it, see, some of us that have been on and walked with the Lord a while, and we've been persecuted, and we've been denied, and we've been rejected, and we've been hurt, and we walked through it, and we stood our ground, and the God of comfort comforted us, and He built, and now we know that He will comfort you with the same comfort that He comforted us with. I've not always been popular, you know, pastoring over here. I mean, I talked about getting this other building, hardware in there. Why you need another building for? I said, I don't, but God does. I wouldn't ever take it personal. See, don't take it personal when people seem to be against you and rejecting you. It's not really personal to you. Don't take things personal. It's because we're walking with the Lord. And Satan don't like you, but Satan's defeated. Don't get all Satan-minded. He's defeated. He was stripped of all power, and we've been given power over all the power of the devil. But you know what? He says, as we believe, and therefore speak. It is written, as we have believed, therefore we speak. Well, I don't know the will of God. We'll find it. How do I find the will of God? It's in this Bible. It's in this Bible. I found out in this Bible that I didn't have to be poor no more. I found out in this Bible that I didn't have to stay sick all the time. I found out in this Bible that I was healed over 2,000 years ago through the stripes that Jesus took, that was prophesied in Isaiah, that by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. I found out that I could take authority over my glands swelling up every year for years. I didn't know it. I wasn't taught it in some places. But I did hear it through a few folk, and I followed it in the Bible. And then I meditated on it personally myself, that by Jesus' stripes I'm healed, and started saying. I believed it, then I started saying it. Then one time I went to the emergency room, because when those glands swelled up, it was really, really painful. I mean, I couldn't hardly get out of bed or anything. I mean, it was really painful, these glands, and it felt like it went clean down into your ribs. I don't know what it was. I called it glands. And I went to the emergency room as a Christian. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not anti-doctor. But I am anti-not believing God and putting my trust fully in a man and what he's learned in college or the books and all of that. Now, there are some praying and fasting and believing doctors out there that God will hook you up. But I went to the emergency room, and they give me a shot, and I was thankful they was there. I was thankful. They give me a shot. A couple of days, I was feeling much better, you know. But I got the bill, and it was 300 and some odd few dollars and for the room. Well, they didn't even carry me in a room. All the rooms were full. They pulled a sheet around me in the hall and give me a shot. And then they charged me for a room. And so when I got that bill, I got mad. I didn't get mad at them. I were thankful they was there. I was really thankful they was there. And I didn't start blaming them. It was worth it to me. But what I saw was how the enemy robbed me. I saw how he charged me with something that I didn't even get. And I come out of my mouth and I said, "Bless God, you lying devil, I am healed. By Jesus' stripes I was healed. You will never cost me another dime with this. It'll never come back on me." It wasn't too long it tried to come back. I laid my hands on my neck and I said, "You foul lying spirit, demon, I said, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I said, you will not swell up. I command these glands to line up with the way God created them and function the way God created them." That left me, and I've never had it again. But you know what? I went in there, started to the medicine cabinet, and I had a bunch of medicine. I went early, Johnny. I go to Walmart or wherever. I get loaded up. It happened in the fall. When the seasons changed, it happened every time the seasons changed. And I had my cabinet full, and when I got healed, I started in there because I thought, I started in there and I'm going to get one. And all of a sudden, I thought, nah, man, healed people don't need that. So I went and I started cleaning them out because I wasn't depending on them no more. And I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just telling you what I did. You know, when people have asked me, you know, because they get all stirred up when they hear this kind of preaching, and they're sick, and they find out, "But God, I can come off this med, I'm be healed, man." God, you know, they get excited. Why? Because they want to be healed, they want to be well. But I've told them more than one time, people that was taking a bunch of medicine, they'd say, "Well, I'm just going to quit taking." I said, "No, don't do that. Don't quit taking your medicine. You know, keep taking it. But every time you take some medicine, you say out of your mouth, 'Bless God, I'm healed in the name of Jesus.' And this is my reminder to lay hold of it." I said, "Then you go to the doctor and you let the doctors take you off." And you know what? Everybody that I did that, and they started taking a stand on God's word, and they started receiving what God had already did for them over 2,000 years ago. Some of them had been saved most of their life and never heard that kind of stuff. And I heard testimony after testimony over the last 27 years of people that started acting on God's word, that, I mean, they'd come off that medicine. Things would happen. There was a lady, I was on the streets preaching one night, and she'd been in church her whole life. They wasn't very popular. They was like the outcast in Oneonta. But you know what? I treated them no different, Johnny, when they come to the meetings. They did get on my nerves. They did. They wanted to sing, and I mean, it sounded like, you know, when an ambulance is coming, the dog starts howling. I mean, it was awful, you know. It was just awful, you know. And I'd be like, oh, God, man, it's going to run everybody off. Let these people sing, you know. But I knew in the scriptures that, you know, I'd done been in there in the scripture, and God favors them, you know. And so my heart really went towards them then. And you know what, praise God, I mean, I let him sing. I let him sing, let her sing, you know, and they got clapping ovations. And I'm like, glory to God. This is awesome, man. God caused this grace to come on them. They didn't hear what I heard. He makes you sound good. Hallelujah. And you know what? She come up one night, and she something wrong with her feet. Doctors couldn't do nothing with it. On walker. And I don't know how long it'd been, 6 months. She stayed there about three or four months. Maybe it was in the second year, I don't know. But see, she's hearing that word on the street. I'm preaching the same Bible that I was preaching back under in 97. Same word. Same thing. I say the same thing all the time. I don't need nothing new. It works. And so I go up there, and here she comes on there, barely could get over there. I mean, glasses that thick. I mean, it looked like basketballs coming out of them glasses. They were thick, dude. I mean, you ever seen people with thick glasses? Their eyes are like, whoo, magnified, big. I mean, you know, so she come up there.
Brother Gunny, I want the Lord to touch my feet. I can't walk. I just barely can walk.
And I said, well, bless God, you know what? You at the right place. I said, he just happens to be here tonight. And everybody, she's like, I don't see him. Well, he's in us, right? He said he'll never leave us, never forsake us. He'll be with us always. So he was with me and I knew it. It wasn't because I had a special anointing. It's because I believe that he's in me and he's with me. And he's anointed me to preach and lay hands on, just like y'all are anointed. Every one of y'all is anointed. Well, I'm not a preacher. It don't say preachers. Mark 16:17 says, these signs will follow them that believe. He didn't say it'll follow them preachers. It's them that knows a lot of the word. He said, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so I carried some anointing oil. I had anointing oil with me. God made a believer out of anointing oil when he saved Teresa. Praise God, I oiled that house down. I had a revelation on account of that it works. It's not the oil. It's a point of contact with that substance. I'm doing it by faith. So I anointed her head with oil. Didn't see nothing happen. But God, I released my faith and I said, you're the healed of God. And everybody, you can see people, I don't know about all that. She's still hobbling. You got to contend with that at places. Jesus did. And Paul did. Sure did. Had some people just come out and try to find a bunch of fault with you. You just got to walk on and work through that. You know? But anyways, maybe you won't have to face that, but more likely you will. But it's okay. We know the Bible says in Romans 8, don't we? For we know that God works all things together for the good to those that are called. And to those that are called, love him and called according to his purpose. And we all are. If you're born again, you're called according to the purpose of God. Well, you know what? That night, it was either that night or a couple of nights after that. I think it was the same night. Anyhow, she wakes up at 2 o'clock in the morning. And her husband sleeps in another bedroom, and she's screaming. And he thought she's dying. He jumps up, runs in there, and she's in there dancing in the dungeon, moved from the bedroom to the living room, and she's dancing in there and screaming at the top of her voice. She's praising God. And he tells her, "What's wrong with you? You woke me up, it's 2 o'clock in the morning." She said, "I asked the Lord to touch my feet." He said, Brother Scotty prayed and anointed my head. She said, "I don't even need my glasses anymore. I can see the Bible just fine without glasses." He not only healed my feet, he healed my eyes too. She couldn't hardly wait to get back on a Friday night to testify of what God had did. Well, you know what? We got that same God. We're just a few years down the road from that. That's all. Our bodies might change a little bit. Age might come a little bit. Things might change. But this word don't change. God don't change. His anointing don't change. His ability don't change. God works all things together for the good. He don't put sickness and disease on you. 17 documented cases in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where they were raised from the dead. 17. And the majority of those 17 documented cases, it was their faith that made them whole. The woman with the issue of blood, I believe it was 12 years, baby. 12 years. Had that thing for 12 years. Here comes the anointed one. Here comes the anointing. We have the same anointing in our life, on us. Here comes the anointed one. She gets out. She come to the street, Johnny. She didn't have to. She come mainly because somebody invited her. She didn't like me. She was Baptist. I got on the Baptist nerves at that time. I don't anymore. I just tell them I'm a converted one. I'm a Baptist, Methodist, whatever. A lady asked me one time, "What denomination are y'all?" I said, "What are you?" She said, "I'm Baptist." I said, "We're Baptist." "Are y'all Baptist?" I said, "Yeah, we're Baptist, ma'am." I said, "We sure are." I said, "The only reason I got that name on the sign down there, because that's what God said." I didn't name it. I fasted and prayed and asked the Lord, "What's the name of this church?" I didn't even want this church. I didn't want to come down here. I'm happy at my church. I'm doing ministry at my church. I got jail ministry, you know. We're going out on the streets in a van, knocking on doors, laying hands on people in their houses, man. I'm happy I'm going down on the streets, praise God. They're giving me a job in church, cut the lights off, and I never did cut them off. I wasn't faithful. So if you ain't faithful, that's why we have mercy on you for a while. Don't quit church on account. I didn't quit church. They asked me, I'll say, "Well, you know, Teresa, she's in a hurry, man. I mean, I want to do it with all my heart, but that's one of the reasons, man. We're ready to go. You know, we get done. We got 45 minutes to get there. But right at the moment, man, I'm all excited. Let's do this ministry thing." You know, so if you ever ain't just totally faithful, don't slam yourself. You'll be okay. You'll be all right, and we'll help you. But, you know, I didn't really want to come down here. I'd never thought. So, anyways, when I knew it was the Lord, I went to fasting and praying, making sure that it was the Lord. Hallelujah. See, and that's why you got to find the will of God. You got to find the will of God, who woman you going to marry. You got to find the will of God, what man he wants you to have. Hallelujah. Your hookups. You need to know what God's saying. He might want you to have a big, fat, ugly one. Not your preference. Well, if you'll help her, she'll trim up. Get her eating right. Right? Or if you like big people, he'll have you to get a little skinny one but got a good heart. Somebody after him. He won't hook you up with somebody that ain't saved. All I'm saying, don't look for your preference. Look for what God wants. Because what God wants. Because let me tell you something. I've been young and I'm a little older now. I'm not old. But I've seen them sag and I've seen things change. And I mean, everything changes after years. So, you know, what you see right then ain't what you're going to have 20 years down the road. So you ain't looking for that. You're looking for the inside. You're looking for God's will. You're looking for the will of God. Looking for the will of God concerning healing. I mean, I was told when I had open heart surgery that because I'm a busy man, you know, and a lot of stuff and everything. I was told by people, you know, well, God has a way of slowing you down where he can talk to you. Now, I told them, I said, you're saying my God did this to me? Nah. You're making my God look bad to me now. He's been good all these years to me. See, some people believe that God puts sickness and disease on you. There is not one scripture in this Bible that I can find where God puts sickness and disease on nobody. I find that the curse entered into this earth in Genesis when man disobeyed God. And Deuteronomy tells you what's under that curse. And I mean every inflammation is in there. Hemorrhoids are in there. All kind of stuff that is in that curse. Hallelujah. That's when sin entered in. That's how come we don't live as long. Because sin came and begins to decay things. It begins to bring things down from God's high place. But I found a scripture in Galatians 3:13 where it says, Christ has redeemed me and you from the curse of the law of sin and death. He redeemed us from it. Hallelujah. So sickness and disease and all that stuff did not come from God. God's not as sick. God's not broke. God's not sick. God's not weak. God's not up there worried about his people down here. God is not none of that. God is not afraid things are not going to work out. Jesus prayed and said, Father, I pray that it be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, think about heaven. What you can find out about heaven. Streets of gold, man. Walls of jasper and onyx, man. I mean, the angels praising God up there, man. I mean joy, unspeakable and full of glory. I mean the beauty of heaven that we really can't comprehend down here. If you've seen beauty here, you ain't seen beauty yet. See, and the scripture gives you hope of that coming day when Jesus comes and he sends his angels down there. I'm not ready to go. I'm ready to do, you know, do the will of the Lord. I'm not in no hurry. Because I count things as light affliction. When things happen to my life, I'm developing and growing to where none of these things move me. That's what Paul said. He said, but none of these things move me. Y'all young kids, honor your parents. And it'll be well with you. That's the first command with promise. Honor them. Even if they're not honorable, you honor God. You honor them. How do I honor them? You know, just be nice. Do acts of kindness. Do the chores. You know, if they need you to do something, mow the yard. Little things. It's just things like that. If my daddy was here right now, I'd go wash his car. I'd go pick it up and wash it. I never honored my father. I wasn't saved, and he died when I was 19 or 20. He passed away with a massive heart attack. But I made it up with my mama. I took care of my mama. I began to take this Bible here, and I began to honor, and it has been well with me. Now I'm telling you not out of just scripture preaching to you. I'm telling you out of experience. I made up my mind that I didn't honor my father. I didn't know how. I didn't know you're supposed to, really. But when I became a Christian, then I'm going to honor my mother. Now, my mother wasn't always up. I had to tell her one time, if you let Travis watch anything on that TV, he'll never spend a night with you again. Come on, somebody. That seemed like dishonor, but that wasn't. But I was helping her to give me honor, and then I'm going to honor you. I never had to cut him off. But my mom, I bought her cars. We bought her cars, and I made sure she had money in little vases and things up on the shelves and call her up, what do you need? I just need $20. Okay, I'll bring you $20. She didn't need nothing. Her last year, she was bedridden. But she got in need of a car, and she had always... She gave me a car one time, you know. Mama couldn't. She gave me her car. And she finished making the payments on it, I think. But you know what? I got to buy my mama 2 or 3 cars, you know, before she died. I made up my mind that I was going to honor the Lord. You know what? I don't lack for vehicles. I do not. I got too many right now, too many. I seen one on Facebook the other day. I thought, man, I would like to have that. I said, turn the page. Got too many. What does the Bible say? How did you get all of that? The Bible says in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken to, I'm talking about believing and not wavering. Shaken together, running over, shall men give into your billfold. One translation says wallet, the other one says billfold. Shocked me when I looked that up, Johnny. Because everybody wants to spiritualize everything. They want to make everything spiritual. Like it's not, he don't talk about our natural world here. But I serve a God that is very involved in my natural world. Very involved in it. He's very involved in, I mean, when I started saving money, he started anointing me to save money. When I started trying my best to be a better steward, he started anointing me to be a steward. The anointing will come on you from the Word of God. When you start honoring your parents, see, your honoring your parents can soften their hearts even if they're rebellious toward the Lord. Because they'll be like, what happened to you? My boss asked me one time, he said, he called me up in his office. I thought, man, what's going on, you know? Man, if you got called to this dude's office, it was never good. Never. And I'm a Christian now. I thought, I can't quit now. Man, I quit. And so I thought, oh, man. So I go up there, you know, and he said, sit down over there, sugar. I said, okay. So I sat down over there. And I said, what's up, Jack? He said, what? He said, what's happened to you, sugar? That's what you're talking about, man. I don't know, you're just different. You know, you're on time for work, and I mean you cut your leg, and you ain't looking for reason. Just begin to name the things off that I decided that I was gonna do in the Word. He began to name those things that he could clearly see that something was transformed. Something was changed. And I simply, all I knew to tell him, I said, well, I'm a Christian now, Jack. I mean, I got saved, man, and I'm trying not to steal no more, and I'm trying not to cuss any more stuff. That's all I knew. Just don't steal and don't cuss, because I was two of them, a thief and a cusser. I cussed, man. I thought it was cool to cuss. Now, see what I'm saying? When you honor your parents, they'll be like, what's happened to Johnny? Johnny, are you okay, baby? Let me feel. He don't feel good, or what is it? You're doing everything. I don't have to tell you anything. I mean, you're doing everything. And you know what you can come back and say? Well, I found out in the Bible that I'm supposed to honor you, but the Lord wants me to honor you, and I'm honoring. You can start ministering. You can say from here out, and they're liable to go and lay on their, oh, Jesus, thank you, miracles are still real. That little heathen, I thought he'd going to hell. I thought he'd gonna have me put in jail, like rebellion in school, man. I mean, they're done in the, I mean, should be in the 10th and still in the 6th. I mean, something's happening in their life. I'm telling you, it'll happen. Honor your mother and father. It is the first command with promise. There's a promise there. What's the promise? I don't really know. All I know that it'll be well with you. And us adults, I try to honor people that are not honorable. I have people at work, I wish they would, well, not that far. Anyways, but I try my best to honor them. Because when I honor them, I'm honoring God. See, count those things that you're as light affliction. And did you know you'll get favor with God? Did you know that when you honor like that, the favor of God comes on you? And like this teenager one time come to me, and this is just one in particular. I've done told y'all, but it was in this, I believe it might have been here, might have been back there. Anyhow, we'd been revived. No, they were going to church here. Come up, and their parents can't afford to buy them a car, you know. And see, if if you walk in the Word, you'll have faith for others. You know. In other words, if you're not doing it, they'll come to you and they'll be like, well, I don't know, man. Y'all are fixed. Y'all, God, man, why are you telling me? I mean, trust God or something. So come to pray that Daddy and Mama will get the money to buy me a car. I said, well, I won't do that. I said, but I'll help you believe God for one. I said, I'm going to help you trust God for one. I said, and that'll take pressure off of your parents because maybe they're doing the best they can do and they can't do anything else. I said, but God is bigger than your parents. And then I told them what to do. Y'all teenagers need a car? Go get you a steering wheel at Dollar General. Go mow you a yard for $5. Go down there and spend it on a steering wheel cover. This is what faith does. You take your medicine and confess you're healed and don't have any other confession other than that. As you do that way, the same thing. Honoring your father and mother, it makes you sick to do it, but you're going to do it because the Bible says that's what faith is. Faith is evidence of the things you cannot see. Faith is a substance. Faith gives you, you don't have to feel it. You will feel it later. You'll know that it works. That confidence. Faith is simply confidence. Confidence in here. I'm confident that if you go get you a steering wheel cover and you release your faith to God and you say, God, thank you for the car that this steering wheel cover goes on, and don't come up with a Lamborghini. Let Him decide what you need. You might need a Pinto. A Lamborghini might fire up your young self. And I mean, you end up in jail with a Lamborghini because you can outrun everybody. But he might want you to have a Pinto. I mean, don't have to have a King Rancher, four-door King Rancher. I mean, I've seen them 16 years old, and they're like looking through the steering wheel. I'm like, where's the kid? Driving Daddy's $80,000 truck, man. Four-wheel drive, can't even sit, got to look through the steering wheel. Now, what I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with the big King Rancher. Nothing wrong with a limit. Don't put it in God. Don't do God that way and tell Him what you want, or you're not going to believe Him. You just get your steering wheel cover and say, God, I will be satisfied with whatever your will is that this steering wheel cover goes on, God. Because some kids won't drive a duster. Teresa had her mama to drop her off the block in school because she's ashamed of what mama drove, I think, wasn't it? Yeah. Got to have an image. And I'm not downing her. That's been many moons ago. She'll drive anything now, I guess. Shoot, man. God gives me something, I don't care what it is. You'll see me drive down through town in it. Pastor, you driving that 83 Toyota? Yeah, God give it to me, man. This thing's special here. Well, see, that's a thankful heart to the Lord. Being grateful and thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful that you have enough to eat. Be thankful. But dream. Don't sit back and not believe God. Be that unique one in your house, if you need to be. Be the unique one that says, as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to honor my mother. I'm going to honor my parents. If my parents were here, both of them, I would be doing my very best to honor them. Even though they got on my nerves. You know, some of y'all get on my nerves. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You can't handle it yet. I'll tell you later. I'll tell you later when none of that moves you. The Lord told me to let Johnny start services off. And I knew it was coming. Let Johnny start services off. And the Lord said, don't let him do it now. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, I knew it was coming. You know how come I knew Sandy that it was coming? Because Brad did me like that and cut me off. And then I'm sitting there, what's wrong? What happened? Did I lose the anointing? I mean, you know. I went through a battle in my mind. I asked Johnny, did you? And he said, yeah. Didn't he? Yeah. I said, there ain't nothing wrong. See, we have to learn to trust the Lord, whatever He says. Whatever He says, do. Tells me to let Samantha start the service. I'm like, oh, God, what is she going to say? I mean, whew, I don't know, man. I mean, she's liable to say, I don't know. Oh. Then let's start preaching. Well, I have to trust the Lord. You got to trust the Lord where you're at and be thankful for the things that God and people that God has into your life. And some people going to come in to go, they are messed up from the floor up. I'm talking about attitude and looks and everything. And God's got an assignment for you. He's got an assignment for you. Everybody that I believed God for the first 5 or 6 years that came into my business, but God, they done. They were messed up. They didn't have license. They didn't have, I mean, they slept to the job. You had to wake them up. And I mean, it took them 30 minutes and you're ready to go. I mean, I went through all of that. And I'm like, God, why are all these people? He said, they need help. And I've given you the ability and grace to help if you don't get mad at them. Now, there's been times where I jumped out and they got out of the truck and I told them, get in, I was going to drag you out. Get back in. Come on, don't run around the truck. Get back in where I can drag you out. I slid off the road. Now, I lost it. If you lose it, don't quit. Get back up, repent. Nothing wrong with repenting. You know what repent is? Changing your mind. Saying, God, I'm sorry I did that, God. With your help, God, I'm not going to blow it again. I'm not going to dishonor my parents again. God, with your help, and He'll show up and begin to help you. Hallelujah. Put that steering wheel cover on there. If you're sick and afflicted in your body, get you some healing scriptures. Put them on the refrigerator if need be, where you see them when you go get something to drink. Hallelujah. If you feel like you're called to preach and Satan keeps telling you you can't do it, you know who you are and blah, 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 all of that, go in there and get your scripture. Over there in Isaiah where Jesus stood up and read the scroll to him, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me and He's anointed me to preach the gospel. Anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the broken, open blinded eyes, set those liberty that will help captive. That's what I did. I meditated on that and meditated. Faith comes by hearing. Meditation causes you to hear down in here. You don't believe it? Somebody does something to you, just lay in bed, and you can meditate on how you're going to bust their nose when you run into them. How you're going to mess them up. You're meditating. You're meditating. And if you keep meditating that, you get angrier or angrier. I know, I've did it. I mean, I've planned and plotted and did some of it, you know, back yonder before the Lord. And so what I'm saying is meditation on God's Word changes your life. I mean, it transforms you. The Bible says it does. Well, I don't feel change. Quit feeling. Monty's working on some scriptures and he's quoting them and everything, you know, and I said, you're being changed. I said, we might not feel it right then. I said, but we're being changed. Why? The Word says it, right? Now, can I tell it? No, I can't tell it yet. Well, the Bible says for us, don't look at the things that are seen. Don't look at the things that are seen. Look at the things that are not seen. Things that are seen are temporary. Your parents in your life is temporary, sweetheart. I'm telling you, they're temporary. I mean, it might seem like it's going to be a long time, but I'm telling you, they are temporary. One day, if you're a young lady, you'll meet a guy, more like y'all move out. One day you'll meet a girl and you ain't gonna want to live with daddy and mama. So that it's temporary. So enjoy your life on the way to victory. Just have victory all day long in school. Hurry to get home so mom and them don't have to come in and do all that. Travis is gone. He can still do it if he wants to. Come wash my truck, son. Wax it. I ain't anointed right now, son. I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. But see, trust the Lord. Lean on the Lord. Hallelujah. Begin to lean on Him. Somebody told me one time, they said, well, I just can't do that. And I believe that's, give me that scripture, I believe it's Philippians 4, is it 13 maybe? If you ever have the thoughts you can't do something, if you ever have the thought you can't honor, you can't love your enemy, you can't believe God for a car, you can't believe God to have a good life, if you ever have can't coming to you as a Christian, go to this scripture right here, and I mean meditate on it. Say it over and over until you can say Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can put that in any area of your life. I just can't believe to be healed because I feel it. Go right there and say, I can. I went in the bank one time doing a transaction. This scripture is real to me. It's a revelation to me. There's nothing impossible. The Bible says all things are possible with God. And all things are possible to those that believe. Jesus said it. I'd go in the bank and I'd figure this transition out, transaction. I'd went in there and I've been having to train the bank for years. These tellers. Went in there and laid it out, whatever it was. She said, I can't do that. We can't do that. I said, that's not in the Bible. I said, can't is not even in the dictionary. I've tried to find it. I said, the word can't is not a word. I said, you can. I said, because the Bible says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Hold on a minute. Go back in there and come back and say, oh, well, we can do it. I said, I told you. I said, there's no such thing as can't. I said, you can. I can do all things. I can be a good businessman. I can be a good husband. I can be a good mother. I can be a good father. I can be healed. I will be healed. I will be wealthy. I'm going to work hard, working with my hands so that I have to give to those who need, because I don't realize the path to success is in your giving. It's in your tithes. Well, I tithe every now and then. Well, that's all you're going to get. Well, I give. Lord told Travis one time, he said, I'll tell you this and then I'll tell you another. I'm trying to teach Travis. He's 5 or 6 years old. On the way to church one night, the Lord spoke to Travis and said, I want you to give Monty $100. Oh, God. It takes God to get $100 out of that boy then. So he comes in and he comes to Monty and hands Monty that $100. Oh, brother. He said, you better take it. You better take it right now. He's fixing to change his mind, Mac. If you don't take it, that's fine with me, you know. Hallelujah. Well, Travis obeyed the Lord. And if I'm not mistaken, before he left this church, somebody walked up to him and said, God told me to give you $100. Is that right? I'm going to Mexico. And I know that I'm going to, It's the real poverty-stricken Mexico is where I was going. And I knew that there's a bunch of kids there because they told me, you know. And so I endeavored in my heart, you know, I'm going to carry them kids some candy, you know. And so Travis was wanting something. I don't remember what. Now, this is different. I told him, I said, son, go in there. I said, there's these kids in Mexico that ain't got toys like this. I said, you go in there and you give. You give these kids in Mexico some toys. So he did. He went in there and cleaned his little Hot Wheels out. And I carried a big bag, man. Not just him, other people. But I carried a big bag over there. And those kids, whenever they realized that there was toys in there, they mobbed me. Man, they're climbing up my back. These kids are climbing. I'd take them to the ground. I had that bag up, you know, and they're taking me to the ground. And they're getting in there. They're getting. I said, no, 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 no. I was telling them, one, just one each, where everybody gets one, you know. So finally, I just surrendered the bag, man. I got out of their way. Hallelujah. And you know what? I stood there, and I was in the midst of a hallelujah party. I mean, I'm standing there, and I'm like, glory to God, a miracle. I was a miracle walking over here to these kids, but God. I mean, you did it, Lord, because I'm willing to give. Now my son gave. Now he ain't going to never lack for toys. That boy never lacked for nothing. I bought him a little S10 truck one time. He ain't never been a small truck, you know. Bought him a little green and nice little truck, you know. And he hated that truck. He didn't like that truck at all. So he come to me, he said, Dad, he said, I've been praying about this. I mean, that's a good thing to do, kids, praying and asking the Lord. If that's not the desires of your heart, surrender that thing to the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in him is what it's called, something said. Well, you know what? He said, the Lord told me to give it away. And I said, well, bless God, just give it away then. If the Lord told you to give it away, just give it away. And so he gave that truck away. He gave that little truck to somebody. I don't forget who he gave it to now. Danny Duncan, wasn't it? Yeah. Gave that little truck to him. And it wasn't too long after that. I went down there and he's working the summer. I went down there and paid a down payment on one. It was, a 96 Silverado. And I told him, I said, now I want you to hold it. I said, he's not getting it right now. I'm going to let him pay for it. So I'm letting him work in the summer. Well, I go down there to make a payment to him, and he'd let somebody use it to go haul some garbage off. And I thought, that's not good. That's just not good. That don't belong to him. So I went back home and told Tracy, you go down there and pay that truck off and you get that truck. God was moving. He started back to school. We paid it off. But you know what? Praise God. I mean, he don't lack for vehicles. He's not lack for them. Teaching him to honor God by giving. See, giving, tithing, I'm telling you. I mean, I can't emphasize it enough, strong enough. I don't care how old you are. But God, if you're 5 years old, you start tithing. You get that kid tithing. You get him honoring God. And I'm telling you, that kid's laying up treasures. And we got an account. Paul said it to be counted to put in your account. I heard a guy preach that one time. He said, you know, you can build a banking account in heaven and you can draw out of it. He read that scripture and I thought, dear God, that's in the Bible too, man. Whoo! So I've been laying up in my account for years. Years, hallelujah. I've been laying it up, and I draw from it. When I have a need, I say, God, I thank you for my heavenly banking account, Father God. I thank you there's no interest there, Lord, hallelujah. It's all coming, Lord, and I thank you, Father. And I draw out of it. But if you don't never put none in it, I told Teresa when we paid her house off, I said, I've made a plan before this. I told her, I said, you know what? I said, we've been making that house payment for nearly 15 years. I said, when we get the house paid for, I said, let's make those payments and just put it up. Just like we're still paying for that house. I said, we don't keep paying for that house. We're still making payments on our paid off house. But I laid hands on that house, and the Bible says over there, don't it say, that therefore, as you it is written, you have believed and therefore speak. Right? Well, the Bible says in Romans to owe no man nothing but to love him. And so I didn't know that one was in her till I'm done in up in debt this deep. Deeper than that, Johnny. Deeper than that. When I got, I was out of flesh, out of control. When I got to where I had good credit, but God, I didn't deny myself. I didn't deny myself nothing. Every 6 months, I'm in a, Teresa, she's wondering who's pulling up every 6 months. Wonder who that is. What are you doing in that? I figured it up and I blowed $100,000 on vehicles. Blowed it. When I called the bank to see how much the payoff was, when I decided that I'm going to owe no man nothing, I'm not going to borrow anymore, I owed $30,000 and my trucks were worth $12,000. That's not good. Not good feeling. You wish you hadn't made that phone call. You felt good till then. But you know what? Laid hands on those trucks, prayed God, believe God that they'd be paid off in the name of Jesus according to Romans. Thank you, Lord, that I owe no man nothing. I don't owe the bank, Lord. You're going to help me pay these off. It's going to come in supernatural. Once I made my mind up, God began to do things in my life, praise God. And you know what? I hadn't owed on vehicles in a long time now. And I can have what I want. It was hard not to go to the bank. You can have stuff without going to the bank. And you can believe God and come out of debt. You can believe God and be healed. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you got to believe and not waver. Don't let your circumstances stop you from believing. Most Christians that I know believe based on what they are seeing and experiencing. They've not made quality decisions. Maybe they don't know how. Maybe they don't know they're supposed to. Quality decision is not a decision based on your feelings and emotions or your body or your circumstances or what you're facing. Quality decisions is a decision that me and you make based on God's Word and we not coming off of it. Call yourself healed. Well, ain't nothing wrong with me. Keep it that way. Keep it that way. Keep a word on you. The Bible says the Word of God is medicine to all of our flesh. I believe I'd have died a long time ago if I hadn't believed God for the Word, on the Word, standing on the Word. I really do. I believe I'd be so weak and feeble right now. Because the way my mind tried to work on me when all these things happened to me over the years, good Lord, if I'd have went to it, priest would have me in a wheelchair right now. Good Lord, roll him out there. Roll me back in, I'm sweating. Can't go by your mind. Can't go by the enemy. Thoughts you have, casting them down. Go in there and get that scripture, 2 Corinthians 10 over there, where it says, casting down those things that argue against the knowledge of God and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What's that? The Word. Can't separate Him and the Word. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God. Then it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the only begotten Son of the Father. Jesus was the Word, and He was the Word made flesh. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads.